Hampton this morning. It's nice to have my mom here. My mom, we celebrated her birthday yesterday. She's the one I always joke about. She's the one I always joke about that she told me for years that she was 29. So she celebrates the anniversary of her 29th birthday. My brother and my sister both came in yesterday, and we celebrated her birthday, which was earlier in the week. So it's nice to have her here. And my dad's supposed to be in the service afterwards. Most of you know I have that younger brother that has handicaps, and so he can't come to the services. So they take turns switching off. So it's not the fact that my mom didn't like my message and she's going back to the house or going back to Maryland. It's just that she wants to give my dad an opportunity. So you'd be praying for them as they travel home this afternoon to where I grew up in Elkton, Maryland. So, okay. 1 Kings chapter 17, the series that we're going through is Building Below the Baseline, and it's the idea of developing the part of your life that only God sees. And it's developing the part of life that only God sees. It's the foundational things, like we talked about last week, the relationship with Christ and how we need to develop that relationship and how it's important to develop the areas that even God, that, you know, God sees all of us. You know, we talked about the Tower of Pisa last week, how the foundation wasn't very good and how many times it's crumbling away and starting to lean and things like that over the years because the foundation wasn't good. And as Christians, if our foundation is not good, sooner or later it's going to be in crumbling. The Christian life develops first with that relationship with Jesus Christ, that friendship. As we talked about the Apostle Paul last week, his holy aspirations was to know him. And that's, you know, we don't know how somebody else's life or how somebody else's relationship is with Jesus Christ. We don't know that from the outside. You know, a Christian, many times we've become really good at looking right on the outside, acting right on the outside. But inside, if we don't deal with the things that are inside, sooner or later they're going to come out. Sooner or later they are going to show, and sooner or later it's going to cause us to fall. This week's lesson, this week's thought is about trusting God. If we talk about trusting in God, we must understand that one of the most important elements, one of the most important things that's foundational for a Christian is to trust in God. I know there's a lot of time and effort. A builder knows the important truth that a structure without a firm foundation is useless, even disastrous. The most vital part of a structure rests on the investment in the foundation. Once again, it's not the most pretty part of the structure. It's not something that people will see, but foundation is important. Most of you know that they're building a deck out behind my house, and when we got there, the first thing they did was put in huge holes. I mean, they went out back there with their diggers and their hole diggers and post hole diggers, whatever you call them, and they created huge holes and put in huge 6x6s in different areas to make a good foundation. They didn't want it to shake. They didn't want it to move. They didn't want to break. They knew that no matter how nice they made the outside of the deck look like, if the foundation wasn't right, if it was going to crumble, if it was going to fall, there would have been an issue. There would have been a problem, and people wouldn't have been satisfied. And it's the same thing in our Christian lives. There's a similar truth. Without a solid foundation to our Christian activities, to our ministries that we may be a part of, our lives will eventually crumble. And the problem is that as we investigate God's word about these solid foundational things, no one's going to really know how much we trust God. God speaks to our heart. God shows us different things. He speaks to us. He says, I want you to take this step of faith, and I want you to take this step of faith. No one really knows how much you give but you and God, how much you trust God with your finances, how much you trust God with your health, how much you trust God with your families. That's between you and God, but it is a foundational principle. It's something that we build upon, and if we don't have the trust of God in our lives will crumble. As we investigate these, I think it's probably somewhere around 10 to 12 different topics. You know, trusting God is important. You think about it. Alaska and California have the most earthquakes in all the different states here in the United States. Alaska and California have the most earthquakes. And in California, they have some of the strictest building codes. I mean, they charge a huge amount of money to be able, and they have so many different people come out and check. We did a building permit on the deck just because we want everything to be done right. And there's been building inspectors that have come out and checked a couple different times. But there is extreme expense in building in California because of the earthquake codes. And the reason why is because when the earthquake comes, when your life is rocked in a sense and shaken in a sense, that's when you know the foundation, whether or not it's good or not. You know, when everything's going well, when everything's going good, you know, who really, everybody's going to see, hey, everything looks good, everything's good. But when your world is shook, when you have been shaken by the, maybe the test and the trials of life, that's when we're going to see where your foundation's at. That's when you're going to see, okay, am I really standing strong? Have I been built upon that solid rock? Like we talked about last week, the foundation, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Am I trusting in that? Am I standing in that? Yes, when things are Sunday morning and churches are filled, offerings are good and the house bills are paid and we have everything we need and sometimes everything we want, it's easy. But when things begin to become issues and problems, like the earthquake, it's going to test the foundation. It's going to see whether or not you're going to stand true. And that's this idea here. The challenges and tests are like earthquakes that can shake us to the core, but they reveal the strength of our spiritual foundation. They reveal the strength of our spiritual foundation. That's when people see, is this real to us? Does God really matter to us? Do we really trust what God says? This morning, like we left off last week, Paul and Silas had just been thrown in jail. They had been beaten. And we're going to see in their lives, it was real to them. Their foundation was strong. Their foundation was sure. They had that relationship and they loved God. And you know what? They sang praises at midnight. And the rest of the prisoners heard them. Their foundation was strong. How can they do that? It's because they had a strong foundation to begin with. Trusting God is one of those things. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to see a story that is two different individuals are pushed to their limit. I'll give you a little background. 1 Kings chapter 17 is a time where the culture is much like our culture today. There's multi-gods. There's pluralism. There is wicked rulers on the throne. And Elijah comes and he tells him in verse number 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead and said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." See, the king Ahab and Jezebel had no interest in God's law. And because of that, there was a consequence that fell to Israel. They needed to God's judgment on them. And just as God's word does not prevail today in the day and time that we live at, you know, there's going to become the judgment of God on our lives and in our country. In response to Ahab and Jezebel's disobedient and their idolatry ways, God sent Elijah to proclaim this judgment. Elijah's not just some crazy prophet just saying what he wants to say. And sometimes there are people out there, the world's going to end tomorrow. Nobody knows when the world's going to end. But there are some people who say some ridiculous thing. No, Elijah has a word from God, and God has said through Elijah, it's not going to rain and we know it's going to be for 3.5 years. And as God's word became the past, he sent a drought to the land. And you imagine this. There's a drought that's coming to the land. Who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the guy that pronounced the judgment. Elijah couldn't hold the rain back by himself. It was God that had done that. But you know what happens? They get mad at the prophet. They get mad at the messenger. They get mad at the man of God at the time. And so here's a couple things I want you to see Elijah's life when he's going through a tremendous time of pressure, a tremendous time of hardship in a sense. And let's see how Elijah's foundation is built. First, you see the trust of Elijah, the trust of Elijah. What does God tell him to do? Look what it says in verse number 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So Elijah's told by God to tell the people, hey, look, there's not going to be any type of rain. So we come to this spot. What is Elijah going to do? Well, God tells him to go sit by the brook. Look what it says in verse number 4. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So we see the trust of Elijah. In verse number 5, it says that he obeyed. "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Now, this probably wouldn't have made any sense to us, but we had to understand that Elijah's in a tough spot. Ahab comes looking for Elijah later on. Actually, after day one, I'm sure nobody thought anything of it. Elijah's just a crazy prophet. But God knew that they were going to blame Elijah. God knew that the people were going to hate Elijah. So God says, look, I want you to get yourself, and I want you to get yourself by the brook Cherith. He even says in verse number 3, hide thyself. Because Elijah preached the word of God, they knew he was going to become a special target, and they had to listen to God. His obedience is the proof that he trusted in God. And because Elijah trusted in God's direction, he saw God's provision. I don't know about you, but I think it'd be really cool to be sitting there and drinking by the brook and having a bird bring your food every day to you. He said, that sounds kind of gross to me. Well, I think God probably gave him something good to eat. Everybody else is struggling. God doesn't do anything short-wise. I think God gave him everything he needed. So he goes to the brook Cherith. Elijah receives the provision. This account about the ravens sustaining Elijah is miraculous. But the truth is, if Elijah would not have trusted God, he would never saw his provisions. So what is this idea? So we're trying to build below the baseline. We're trying to develop a foundation that when where our worlds are shook, we're going to still stand strong. We have to trust in him. We have to say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I don't understand why God would send me to a brook. I don't understand why God says birds. And he said, I would have different ideas. I would have better plans. And the reality is our human tendency runs contrary to trusting God. We analyze our options. We determine our direction. And far too many Christians miss out the experience of God's great acts because they're only willing to do things that make sense to them. And the reality of it is there are some times when God asks us to do things that don't make sense. You know, you think about it, when Paul and Silas, they wanted to go certain ways, God said no. Paul and Silas heal the demon-possessed girl, and they get beaten, they're thrown in jail. Would it make any sense to be singing praises? Not in our minds. Why would we do that? But you see, the jailer gets saved, his family gets saved, he says the prisoners hear him. And there's so often in our lives that we got to say, I'm going to trust in God. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He's saying, look, I don't want you to trust in your own self. He says, I want you to trust in God with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understandings. Your own understandings is telling you, do it this way. Your own understandings says, this makes more sense. But God says, I want you to lean unto me. I want you to give everything over to me, and I want you to trust in me. And that's a foundational truth, is that what's inside of us, they can't see how much we trust God. We can easily say, well, I know this is God's will for my life. You know how many times I've heard people say that? I know it's God's will, and then they say something that's completely contrary to the scriptures. And why is that? They've convinced themselves. They've thought themselves through. I've thought about this, and this is what I'm going to do. No, the foundational principles that are going to cause us to keep on staying strong, even when our worlds are shaken like an earthquake would shake us, is when we say, I'm going to trust God and his word. Because when the earthquake happens, you'll see what's built right and what's built wrong. And when things and problems happen in our lives, we will see what truly comes out of us. We talked about that the idea of a tea bag, that when the pressures get hot and the waters get hot, what really is inside a tea bag is going to come out. And Christian, that's what happens in our lives. We like to blame it on everyone else. We like to blame it on all the circumstances. But the reality of it is, how much do I trust in God? Because when my world gets shook up, that's when either I'm going to stand strong because the foundation's good, or the real me is coming out. The Bible talks about us trusting in him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Trusting God is a lifelong privilege. Growing as a Christian as we walk with God will require our constant surrender of our own will to God's direction. And the moment we reject God's direction, the moment we reject God's will, we digress as a Christian, and we make our foundation a little bit weaker. So we keep on going here, and we see in the story in verses 6, 7, 8, how God took care of him until the brook dried up. Now, the first thing is, Elijah had to trust God to go to the Cherith. He's like, God, how in the world are you going to take care of me by a brook? Then we see that he trusts God to go to Zarephath. Let's look here in verses 9 and 10. Verse number 9, it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, you say, well, why is that a big deal? God says he's going to take care of him. Well, he has to trust him for this. Zarephath is not the place that you want to be. Zarephath's probably about 7 miles away from Zidon. and 7 miles away, but also it's a very wicked area. Jezebel's father lived in this area. It's where it was famous for being worshiping false gods, worshiping Baal, and things like that. For Elijah to go to this place is kind of a little bit of a dangerous place. So we see here that it's an unfamiliar place. It's an unlikely place that he sends him. But also, he sends him to a widow. Now, us, we would say, okay, it's a widow, someone without a husband, even if it has a child that's still at home. Those are the type of people that we're supposed to help. Well, God says, I'm sending you to this widow, and this widow woman is going to sustain you. That doesn't make any sense to us. Our first thought and our first process would be, okay, how can I help this woman? I'm a grown man. What can I do to help? Obviously, she's going to be struggling. There's a famine. There's a drought going on. Elijah has to learn something. He has to learn how to trust in God. Even though sometimes it might not make sense, Elijah's going to learn here that he's got to let God work through him so that way even the woman and the widow woman gets to have the blessing there. Elijah must have had plenty of questions regarding this provision. You know, the ravens wasn't a big deal, but can you imagine how humbling it would have been for Elijah to look at this woman and say, can you please give me some food? Surely that had to be something that was trusting, but his answering this woman's, his doing what God wants him to do was a way that they were answering this woman's prayer. God, this woman, I'm sure, was praying for more food. This woman, I'm sure, was praying that God would sustain her and her son. And you look in the story how it goes. It says in verse number 11, he asked for the water. And as she was going to fetch it, God provides here. Elijah is probably a little bit nervous going into this area. But first thing he does, God provides the woman at the gate. He doesn't have to even go into the city that much. No one has to see him. Elijah's seen at the gate. He sees this woman. He says, hey, can you get me some water? And she listens as she's going to fetch. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now, this is an unlikely plan here, but you know what? God is using Elijah here to trust him to also help answer this woman's prayer. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now, this is why I believe that this woman is also a believer living in a foreign land. She talks about the Lord thy God liveth. She knows who the one true God is. She knows who Elijah is. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Now, I don't know about you. If this was me, and I would have to be really trusting in God for this, because if I knew that this woman had this trouble and had this problem, and she only had enough left over, then I would be saying, no, keep it for yourself. Let me see what I can do. Go get these things. But God had told him to do something. So the question is, are we going to trust God when God doesn't make sense to us? Are we going to really believe that God tells us to love our husbands and love our wives? And are we going to really believe when God tells us to be a witness? When we're going to really believe when God tells us what to do with our resources? When God speaks our heart? Because sometimes it doesn't make sense. But you see, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, save the Lord. To me, this would have been really difficult for me to look at this woman and say, okay, I want you to still make me this cake first. You think about it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end. We're going back to, are we trusting God with our lives? This is a unique request that God is asking and telling the prophet, this is how I want to take care of you. And you think about it, God has told us he's going to provide for us. God's thoughts toward us, they're thoughts of peace. They're not of evil. He's not going to set Elijah up to look bad in front of everybody else and to fail. No, he's using Elijah as an example to this woman. If this woman would be willing to be faithful to God first and faithful to God's man first, then you know what? God's going to provide you throughout the rest of the time. It's once again, it's a foundational principle. It's something that we don't know how much somebody trusts God. We can say, oh yeah, I trust God. But how do we respond when it doesn't make sense? Are we trusting in him? Are we listening to him? Is it something that we are really, truly into what God's asking us to do that doesn't make any sense? To me, this would be one of the most difficult things to do in all the Bible. You know, standing in the fiery furnace, taking a stand against Nebuchadnezzar, that would be hard. But you think about it, because all the people around, but asking a widow woman to give him their last cake, that would be tough to do. Elijah trusts God. And Elijah's test of faith was severe, but his trust also shows that God is trustworthy. And even when it made no human sense, Elijah followed God's direction, and through it, God revealed his power. One little side note I want you to see. Elijah not only is listening to God, but God is using Elijah to help show this widow woman how she can trust God too. What does that mean? When things might not make sense to you, God may be using you to help point someone in another direction. I can't do that. You know what? God may be using you. I can't do what God's asking. God could use that to help point somebody else in a direction towards him too. So I want you to see that Elijah was not the only one that whose faith was being tested here. We also see that the test of the widow, her residence, consider the where she was living at. If she believed in the one true God, it would have been tough to live in Zarephath that way. Just to live in a wicked place, to stand for God and live, it would have been tough. Most people probably would have just ignored Elijah. Most people would have known Elijah in that day and time. Most people would have said, I don't have anything to do with you. You're the reason why the drought's happening. You're the reason why the water's happening, that we don't have any water. You're the reason why we're having a famine. You're the reason why my son and me are getting ready to die. No. Her residence. She was being faithful even during this time. And if you go back and you think about it, you say, I don't know why God has me here. I don't know why God has me in this family. I don't know why God has me in this community. I don't know why God has me in Elizabeth City. I don't know why. You think about the different places that God used characters in the Bible over and over. You think about how God used Joseph in Egypt. You think about how God used Bethlehem as the birthplace of Christ. You think about the Apostle Paul was in prison many times. You think about all those different areas, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and Babylon. There are so many different areas that God said, look, even where you're at, I can still use you. It's a trust there. It's not saying, I wish God would send me somewhere else. I wish that I could be somewhere else. If it was just a little bit different. No, trust God where you're at. God sent him to Cherith. God took care of him. God sent him to Zarephath and gave him something that was even a harder job. And then, God is taking care of him. It's the test of the widow, is her residence. God providentially placed this woman right where he was supposed to be. And he sees him there. And God uses him. Although this woman lived among Baal worshipers, this is not the premier location. God needs Christians in areas that are struggling. God needs somebody over in those Africa areas and those India areas that are going to be a light. God needs somebody in Elizabeth City in the rougher areas that's going to be a light. And here's the thing is, her residence shows us that she was still willing to live for God. Guess as many Bible characters in the past, but you look at her resources. She's being tested. First of all, she's sitting in an area that's being felt by the drought. She's sitting in an area that is just having issues and problems, and it's a wicked place. But you see her resources, just a little bit left. And look what it says in verse number 12 again. It says, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil of cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. You see her resources is she just didn't have much. She didn't have much. You heard that song before, as little as much when God is in it. My mom loves singing that song. My mom is a worse singer than I am. You guys know how bad I am, but she loves to sing, and she would probably agree with you that it's just, she not very many people in my family got the talent to sing, and she would walk around the house singing little as much when God is in it, and she believed that. And you know what? This woman has the same thing. Is she has the wrong reasoning here? Her resources are pretty limited. Remember the boy with the five loaves and two fishes? Remember when Andrew says, what are these among so many? God, with a little bit, can do more than a lot with somebody else. And that's the thing is, we got to trust. She's being tested here. She's living in a wicked place, and her resources are very limited. But the prophet says, look, if you listen, look what it says in verse number 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Isn't that amazing how many times God tells us not to be afraid in the Bible? Over and over. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake. You see that word first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And then he talks about the promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain unto the earth. Now, I want you to get this here. Her resources were very meager. And so, like, what are these among so many? See, that's not what God's asking you to figure out, your resources. Yes, God does tell us to provide for our families. God does tell us to, I think it's good to have, as it talks about, an inheritance. And God does tell us taking care. But God said, look, whatever resources I give you, I can use those. I can multiply them. And that's what Elijah's saying. Take care of God's stuff first. Listen to God first. Then, you know what's going to happen? God will take care of you. So we see here her resources. I want you to think about a second for her reasoning. Don't get me wrong. I could only imagine going through this. And sometimes I feel really bad when I can't give my sons a want, much less a need. Sometimes they're like, can we have this or can we do that? Not right now. We need to save for that. We need to work towards that. You know, we just don't have the finances or whatever. I feel bad when I can't do that. Can you imagine not being able to feed your, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from? And probably some of you in the room have experienced that. And this woman here, her reasoning is, I think it's a little bit faulty. It's without faith. She says at the end of verse number 12, she says, and I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She's come to the spot where she doesn't think God's going to answer her prayer. I think we've been there before. I think when we see things are getting really dark, getting really damp, getting really struggling, and we turn around like, well, this is what's going to happen. And then you see there's no vision there. There's no vision that, you know, but I'm still praying. I believe God's going to take care of this. No, she's telling the prophet. She's like, this is what's going to happen, and then we're going to die. Christian, that's not trusting God. It might be in a spot where we say, okay, things look really dark right now, but I serve a God that can do all things, and I'm just putting my faith and trust in him. I'm just taking one step at a time, one day at a time. Would I be like this widow woman saying the same things? I probably would be. I'd probably be moaning and groaning. I probably wouldn't even have the, if Elijah told me to give him a drink of water, I'd tell him to go get his own water. You know, I mean, all those different things. Remember, water at that point in time was very valuable. But this widow woman's like, can't do it. And it's amazing here, her reasoning. Remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Everything that was telling this woman was, you know, feed her and feed her child. In all reality, probably what she was going to do is feed her child and probably not even eat much herself, so that way the child maybe could have another day. But thankfully, when Elijah proposed a better way, this dear lady did not yield to the beckoning of her reason, but rather she obeyed God. When Elijah said, go, and says, first, thereof a little cake first, she doesn't say, who does that guy think he is? Who in the world? What right? No. She leaves her own reasoning. Remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. She is not leaning to her own reasoning. She is trusting in God, and she says, okay, if that's what God wants, I'm willing to do it. Her faith was being tested. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, Christian, we are going to have a death in our spiritual life. I know we never lose our salvation. Don't get that wrong. Once you get the Holy Spirit of God, you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. You're not going to get any more, but you can't lose it. But you can crumble as a Christian if you're going to do things your way. This makes more sense to me. This makes more reasoning. No. God wants you to trust him, even when sometimes things don't make sense. I couldn't imagine being Elijah asking this widow woman for a cake before she fed her family, but I can't even imagine how difficult it was for this widow woman to say, okay, I'll go and do that. That is really trusting in God. And we have promises and all throughout the Word of God that tells us and explains to us what we're supposed to do, even though it might not make sense, how we're supposed to live, even though our mind and our heart is saying, no, it's okay to look at that. It's okay to think about that. It's okay to hear this. And it's okay not to do this. It's okay to give up on this. Even though the Word of God says something completely different, we got to learn to trust in Him. One person said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. For both these people, their confidence in God held little value until they endured the test. Until they had gone through this, then God was able to help. Most Christians claim that they trust God, but it is only when the storms of life arise. It's only when your worlds get shook. that we really see how well our foundation is built. It's only when everything starts falling apart that we can see what the foundation is really truly made of. Think about it. Not only is there the trust of Elijah, the test of the widow, but there's also the triumph of faith. I think it's an amazing story how God takes care of them. God shows and directs and leads that he's in control of all things and he can handle everything. Look what it says in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Once again, this was a man of God. She knew who he was, I believe. She knew that he was saying God's word, just as they did with the rain. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of the oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There is the triumph of the faith. Remember, faith is the victory. Sometimes we read the story and think primarily of the widow's need. Sometimes we think about Elijah's humbling position. But God instructs both of them, and God is able to give them what they need. You think about the request from the prophet. Not only did he request provision, but he requested it first. Man, that took a lot of faith for him to do that. The response of the widow and an act of great trust against human logic, the widow simply obeyed and God brought deliverance. Although we never felt like it at the time, you know, we never feel like it, excuse me, at the time, being in a place where our faith is tested is a good position to be in. So what do you mean? And they would have never known these things. Remember, the widow was struggling with her faith because of the fact she says, we're going to do this and we're just going to die. I've already come to the spot where I realize that there's no hope here. God helps both of them. And you know, sometimes that only time we really know how well their foundation is built is when there's a problem. Sometimes, you know, when we had our, I think it was a number of years ago, when we had the water leak at the house, it wasn't until we had to start pulling things up that we saw there was a problem with our door and things were falling apart and things were rotting out underneath of the house where the deck area was at. And there was a problem a number of years ago. We didn't know that. We thought everything was fine. Everything was okay until you start pulling it up. And Christian, you're sometimes never going to know where you're weak at in your foundation until you're in this place of testing. Is it fun? No. Are we going to ask for it? No. Did Paul and Silas enter into the city of Philippi and say, I think we need a beating today so we can reach more people? No. That would be ridiculous. But in that time of testing, in that time of hot water, in that time of circumstance, we really learn how much we trust in him. And sometimes we got to be like that a man who had the demon-possessed son, I believe, but help down my unbelief. Lord, I want to be more faithful. I want to trust more. Lord, teach me how to do that. And that's what God is doing here through Elijah. Elijah probably did not mind one bit saying, there's not going to be any dew or any rain except for according to my word. God honored that. But when it came to the point that nobody liked him, when it came to the point that he had to ask this widow woman to help provide for him first, I'm wondering if he thought, maybe I shouldn't open my big mouth. Because there's going to be a time of testing and trials that come. And you see the resources that were supplied. And following God's instruction was a test of faith for both of them. But you see how God honors their substance and the response of the widow. Although we don't always understand it, God takes care of us. Also, you think about the resources that were supplied for the length of the drought. These three, Elijah, the widow, and her son, never went without food. Surrounding them as a people group whom God was judging with a drought, God says, I can take care of my people who love me, who trust me. Because of their trust in God, they were safe from the agony of starvation. God had provided, God had protected, and God's resources had not dwindled. And the great thing is, God's resources today had not dwindled. We can still trust him today. We can still believe in him today. He can still take care of us today, just like he took care of Elijah. And just like he took care of the widow woman, he hasn't lost anything. He has still the same power, still the same abilities, and still speaks to our hearts like he spoke to Elijah. So what's the conclusion? Is your faith being tested? God's promises are true. He is trustworthy. Though the example of the prophet in need and the obscure widow was an unlikely place, we learn that God honors faith. And the storms of life will truly come. There will be times, and they'll be different for each of us, and they will always be exposed to the foundation of our trust. May we hold fast to God's promises, anchor our souls in his unchanging nature, so we build trust below the baseline. You see the story here. It's amazing how it all worked out. It's amazing when God answers these prayers. It's amazing when God supplies like that. It's easy to read. It's so much harder to live. But if we're willing to trust in him, willing to forsake our own understanding and lean on God, trust on him, he can take care of us. Same God hasn't changed yet. He's still the same God. Still little as much with God. He's still able to do and speak. We just ought to be willing to trust in him. You got to be willing to say, I believe this is God and God can do this. I'm just going to do what God's asked me to do and let him take care of the rest. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I know that we need you. Lord, so often we, on the outside, we can look right, we can look good, we can look like we are even some way super Christian. You know, there's no such thing. But Lord, at the same moment, at the same time, inside we could be crumbling. Lord, help us to learn to trust in you. Sometimes things do not make sense. Sometimes our own human reasoning, our own human heart is screaming another way, another thing, another way. But Lord, help us not to lean into our own understandings. Help us to trust the Lord with all our heart. Help us to see the story of Elijah putting in an awkward spot, but he was faithful, and Lord, you took care of him. Two different miraculous ways. The widow in a very trying test. Lord, thank you for changing her vision. Thank you for helping her to see that you can do any and everything that you want to do. Help us to have faith in you, Lord. Thank you for the resources that were supplied. Help us look back over our lives and see how well you've taken care of us, and help us to believe that you're able to do even more than we could ever imagine or think. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, there is classes still going on in the back. You're getting out a few minutes early today, so please don't go back there unless you have to. But you're dismissed besides that. Thank you. Hi, Miss Fran. I do. I already talked to your husband a little bit. How do you like little kids? The 4 and 5 year olds? Yeah.